Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
If you're as adverse to politics as I am, it really helps to have an interest in animal behavior. And if you're as adverse to politics as I am, nothing is worse than the year of a presidential election. I've written before about how in animals there's an inverse relationship between the amount of energy they use to get the message across and their level of confidence and fitness. The less confident and fit an animal, the more energy they have to use to get the message across. If we equate energy with money in the human realm, as it often is, because those who are less able to do something can still succeed if they have the money to hire someone else to do it for them. Because of that, every time an election rolls around, I try to find some new and different way to view it in terms of animal behavior to amuse myself. And this year, I decided that the primaries are a lot like the mating season. First, it starts out with the competitors, figuring out who among them is the most fit. And in wild animals, whoever emerges as the most fit is the one who wins the right to mate. That's the reward. But it doesn't end there, because Mother Nature has figured out that the same qualities that make for a good competitor make for a lousy parent. If you're going to be a successful leader, a successful parent, a successful matriarch or patriarch, you've got to be in it for the long run. And that requires a different set of skills. Sure, they're similar in some ways, but they're a lot different in other ways. So how does Mother Nature handle this transition? Well, did you ever wonder when you watch those nature shows on TV about animal reproduction, why so many different species have some incredibly elaborate and seemingly bizarre mating behaviors? And particularly among the males. See male birds strutting their stuff, wasting tremendous amount of energy and bright plumage that, if anything, makes it harder for them to fly and protect themselves. Or large antlers, or putting a tremendous amount of energy into calls or dances. And all of this is for one reason, to impress the females. Meanwhile, the females are learning to be very circumspect, checking out these males to see whether they're worth the effort. And in such situations, the uncertainty can go right up to the time of mating. If the females are too aggressive, males won't have anything to do with her. She's out of the gene pool. If the males are too aggressive, the females won't have anything to do with them. And those males are out of the gene pool too. And if they're both equally aggressive and they do manage to mate, the physiological changes associated with that aggression might make it impossible for her to carry a pregnancy to term. So there's all these built-in safeguards to teach patience, to teach tolerance. Many species are interesting compared to humans because the males get very, very interested when the females first start showing signs of heat. And in the case of dogs, the familiar spotting, males are very, very interested in that, even though this is a period of time when the females are the least receptive. And you have to say to yourself, well, that's pretty stupid. What in the world was Mother Nature thinking? And I don't know this for sure because I have to admit I don't know her personally, but I imagine her thinking going something like this. You know, any male will hang around when you're hot to trot, but it takes a really, really special one to hang around and to put up with your bitchiness and your irritation when you have nothing to offer. And that's what happens during this period. And if the males try to force the issue, they're not going to get any return for their investment. And if the females are overeager, they're not going to get any return for their investment either. Both of them will be out of the gene pool. So it's a nice, nice system. I can't help wondering what our system would be like if we had looked to nature, if we had paid attention instead of mucking about with it. But I do know for sure that looking at the politicians and the way they go about their competitive phase, they're wasteful. They spend all of their time bad-mouthing each other. They remind me of birds who lack good plumage. So they jump up and down and pick on the other one in hopes that nobody will notice. So when I look at the primaries, and I'm sure it won't be any different when we come to the actual election itself, I see some fascinating parallels. And I'd like to say the best of behavior, but to tell you the truth, if it's out there, so far this year, it hasn't made itself known.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.